Chapter 18 Shark Odyssey. The cracks in the glass ceiling widened. Water began to gush through. My hands were still cuffed behind my back. "You need to unlock these," I yelled. "I can't swim like this." Marge ignored me, staring at the glass. Thankfully, Bubba came to my aid, though his hands were shaking with fear so badly he could barely hold his keys. Marge whipped out her radio and called to her security men. "We are trapped inside the shark tube, and it's about to blow. Get down here and open the doors, now!" I watched the web of cracks spreading through the tube all around us. "I don't think we have time for that," I said. Bubba had given up any pretense of being tough. "I don't want to die," he whined. "Not like this. I don't want to be eaten by sharks." "We don't have to worry about the sharks," I told him. I wasn't completely sure if this was true. Taurus might be trouble. But I needed Bubba to calm down and unlock my cuffs. None of them are man-eaters.
"Except for that bull shark," Marge said. "That guy's a cold-blooded killer."
Bubba burst into tears. It wasn't dignified in any way. For a big man, he cried like a girl.
"Why?" he bawled. "Why is this happening to us?"
Someone responded on Marge's radio, but between the steel doors and the water above us, the transmission came through garbled.
"I do not copy," Marge said desperately. "If you can hear me, get off the radio and open the doors."
Then something else occurred to her, and she added,
"And if you see a man in an orange Astros cap up there somewhere, arrest him."
Bubba was so upset he couldn't control his hands. He fumbled the keys onto the floor. "Officer Stackhouse, please," I pleaded. "If you don't unlock my cuffs, I'm going to die."
"We're all gonna die," Bubba moaned. "We're gonna be ripped to shreds by sharks."
"We won't," I said. "If we don't panic, we'll be fine. In fact, I think we'll be able to swim right out of here." Marge turned to me, surprised.
"How?"
"The water's gonna come through pretty strong at first," I said. "But once the tube fills up, that'll stop. And then we ought to be able to swim. It's not that far to the surface."
"But if the tube is filled, we'll be underwater," Bubba mewled.
"I know," I said. "We'll have to time it just right." Bubba nodded. His cheeks were still wet with tears, but my plan made sense.
"And you sure the sharks won't come after us?"
"Absolutely. Even the bull won't. He's too well fed to come after something as big as a human." I did my best to lie as confidently as possible, although it was difficult. Taurus was circling the tube slowly, like he knew what was going on. It was extremely unnerving. My words still worked, though. Bubba calmed down enough to grab the keys off the floor. He made another attempt at the lock. There was a loud pop as a huge crack shot across the ceiling. A web of smaller fractures blossomed around it. To my surprise, Marge was staying calm. She was definitely scared, but unlike Bubba, she was holding it together.
"I think this is it," she said. "Get ready."
At the last second, Bubba finally managed to fit the key into the lock. There was a click as he turned it. One of the cuffs sprang open, and suddenly my arms were free. There was no time to thank Bubba, though. Instead, I sucked in as much air as I could and clamped my jaw tight. The middle of the glass tube collapsed. A wave of water exploded toward us. I tucked down and braced for it, but it still bowled me off my feet. I tumbled backward and bounced off something hard. Maybe the steel door, maybe the floor. I had no sense of where I was, or even of up and down. The water surrounded me, chilling me through. As I struggled to figure out which way was up, a few dark shapes shot past me. Sharks. They were only small ones who'd been dragged along in the surge of water, but they still triggered a primal fear in me. The salt water stung my eyes, but I kept them open, trying to figure out where I was. I'd been pushed back down the tube, close to the steel door. Marge and Bubba were close by. If the sharks had scared me, they completely terrified Bubba. His eyes were so wide they looked like headlights. I had no idea how long I'd been underwater. It was probably only a few seconds, but it seemed like much longer. The miniature tsunami had hit me so hard it had knocked the wind out of me. I was desperate to breathe, but I didn't have time to swim all the way to the surface. Then I noticed that directly above me was a large bubble of air. Some of the glass had still held, and there was a gap at the top, though the water was rushing to fill it. I kicked upward and broke through. There were only a few inches left, but there was oxygen. I tilted my head back and sucked in air. Marge and Bubba surfaced close to me, having followed my lead. They both gasped for breath as well, but the water was rising quickly. "We have to swim now," I told them, then took in as much air as my lungs could hold. The water swallowed us up again. The tube was now full, but as I'd figured, the rush of water had abated. There was no more current pushing against us. It was still a long way to the surface, though, and there were sharks everywhere. I willed myself to be calm. I found myself thinking back to the first time my father had ever taken me snorkeling off the coast of Kenya. "If you ever get pulled under," he told me, "don't panic. Panic uses oxygen. You have a lot more air in your lungs than you realize. Just stay calm, ride out the undertow, then swim up." I swam toward the middle of the tube. Almost all of the glass had been blown out, save for a jagged fringe along the edge of the steel ribs. I steered clear of that. The last thing I needed was to cut myself, get blood in the water, and spark a feeding frenzy. I rose through the gap in the tube and kicked for the surface. Below me, Marge and Bubba followed. The shark tank was 30 feet deep, 3 stories, though it seemed more like 100 as I swam up through it. The water was deathly cold, and my heavy winter jacket was of no use against it. In fact, the jacket was now an additional threat to my life. There hadn't been time to peel it off after Bubba had finally undone my cuffs. Now it was saturated with water and weighing me down like an anchor. I tried to wriggle out of it, but couldn't get free and only ended up wasting precious seconds. As much as I tried to be calm, my muscles were still screaming for air. I kicked desperately, struggling toward the surface. I was only about 10 feet short when Taurus slammed into me. I don't know if the bull was attacking. He might have merely been trying to chase me out of his territory. After the blast, he was no doubt on edge, and then I came swimming through his turf. Whatever the case, getting rammed by a 7-foot-long man-eater is absolutely terrifying. The shark knocked me sideways, blocking me from going any higher, and in my fright, I coughed out the rest of my air. Taurus circled around and came at me from the front this time. The bull moved with staggering speed, carving through the water like a torpedo. His mouth gaped open, displaying several rows of razor-sharp teeth. Somewhere in the back of my brain, I remember Dad telling me about swimming with sharks and what to do if one ever got too aggressive. Oddly, it was the exact same advice he'd given me for dealing with Vance Jessup. I made a fist, and as Taurus closed in, I punched the shark in the nose. The sensation was surprisingly soft, like hitting a sponge. The bull veered away, disappearing into the distance with only a few flicks of his tail. I had no idea if I'd scared him off or if he was merely circling to hit me from behind again. I didn't plan to stick around and find out. I aimed for the surface. Unfortunately, the remaining 10 feet might as well have been a mile. The cold water had sucked the energy from my body, and my saturated jacket was so heavy I could barely move my arms. Swimming was now a Herculean task. I tried as hard as I could, but I didn't seem to make any progress at all. My brain grew fuzzy from the lack of oxygen. My vision tunneled. My body felt like it was shutting down. Suddenly, someone plunged into the water beside me. The sharks around me darted away in fear. In my addled state, I couldn't even make out who the person was through the cloud of bubbles surrounding them. Whoever it was reached out, grabbed my jacket, and yanked me upward. I burst through the surface, gasping for air. The moment fresh oxygen hit my lungs, I felt like I was back from the dead. My strength instantly came back. My mind sharpened and my vision cleared. I started treading water and found out who jumped in to save me. My mother. Her eyes were wide with fear. At the time, I thought she was worried about the sharks, though I later realized she was really worried about me. She had just witnessed my near death by drowning and shark attack. "Are you all right?" she asked. "Yes," I gasped. "Hang on to me," she ordered. "I'll get you out of here." Now that Mom had proved it was safe, 2 security guards leaped in beside us, splashing into the shark pool like depth charges. Seconds later, they surfaced with Bubba and Marge, who both gulped air as I had. Mom looped an arm around me and side-stroked to the shallowest area of the shark tank. There was a low glass wall here that normally rose to only a few inches short of the surface. This allowed the smaller sharks to access the shallows while keeping the bigger sharks out. Since the water level had dropped in the shark pool due to the flooding of the tube, the glass wall now poked out above the surface. Mom helped me clamber up onto it. Water cascaded out of my clothes. "I thought you were with JJ," I said to her. "I never made it," she said. Building security kept me waiting in the lobby. And then word came over the radio about you and Marge being trapped in the tube, so I ran over. I didn't realize that... Mom's voice hitched, as though she were having trouble finishing the thought. I had no idea that it had collapsed. After that, she threw her arms around me and hugged me as tightly as she could. I hugged her back, thinking about what she'd done. I wasn't quite sure how long it had been from when the tube had locked until Mom had rescued me. Fear screws up your sense of time. It had only been a few minutes at most, though, and Mom had run halfway across the park in that time. That would have been a practically Olympian pace. I could hear her heart thumping wildly in her chest, still spiking from the exertion. Beside us, Marge, Bubba, and the two guards who'd saved them clambered up onto the glass wall as well. Marge looked exhausted. Bubba was still gibbering with fear. "Sharks!" he whimpered. "Sharks everywhere!" I broke the hug with my mother. The tube didn't collapse, I informed her. Hank the Tank blew it up. Mom reacted with astonishment. "How?" "He put some kind of explosive on it. There was a remote detonator." Mom's eyes narrowed angrily, but then I started shivering and she grew concerned about me again. "We need to dry you off," she said. From the top of the glass wall, we could get to the edge of the exhibit. There were now lots of people crowding the viewing deck. Most of them were park security, but there was also the Shark Odyssey staff and some random Fun Jungle employees who'd raced over from other exhibits. It appeared someone had thought to prevent tourists from coming in. Several people reached out to help Mom and me climb over the wall onto the viewing deck. Others helped us pry off our wet jackets and put their dry ones on. Bubba and Marge came over the wall behind us, though they needed the help of a lot more people to do it. The park's emergency medical staff burst through the doors. I caught a glimpse of a crowd of tourists gathered around the building, being held at bay by a few guards. The medics surrounded Bubba, Marge, and me, wrapping us in warm blankets and checking our vital signs. Mom and the guards who'd gone into the tank for Bubba and Marge grabbed blankets, too. Next, the policeman who'd been assigned to take Dad into custody arrived with Dad in tow. Apparently, they'd realized this was more important, although Dad was still handcuffed. The cops brought him directly to me. "Are you all right?" he asked. "Thanks to Mom," I said. "She dove into the shark tank to get me." Dad looked to Mom, who shrugged as though this were no big deal. "Of course she did," Dad said. Then he gave her a kiss so big I had to avert my eyes. The other police were checking on Bubba right next to us. He was wrapped in several blankets, but a great deal of his pale white flesh still peeked out from under them. He didn't seem to care, though. Now that he was safe, his fear had turned to anger. "Did anyone catch the guy who did this?" he demanded. "The guy in the Astros cap?" "We got him," a security guard reported. According to the patch on her uniform, her last name was Patmore. "He was caught trying to slip out of the employee entrance to the park." "Where is he?" Marge asked. "The park security holding cell," Officer Patmore replied. Bubba glanced toward my father. "Unlock his cuffs," he ordered his policeman.
"But he interfered with an arrest," one began.
"An unlawful arrest," Bubba corrected. "He was only trying to protect his kid. The guy in the holding cell is our man. Has he said anything?"
Everyone looked to Officer Patmore expectantly.
"No," she admitted. "He took the Fifth and demanded a lawyer."
Bubba sighed with annoyance.
"Of course he did. The guy's a pro. We won't get squat out of him."
An idea suddenly came to me. Despite everything that had happened, I broke into a smile. "I know how to make him talk," I said.